It says redemption from the curse of spiritual death. You know, it's a difference between physical death and spiritual death. There's a difference. Turn to Galatians 3:13 says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curses for our wrongdoings. Anybody in here ever did anything wrong? Okay, he did that. He hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curses for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The first curse which God said would come upon man for breaking his law is found in Genesis, right? Genesis 2:17. Let's look at it. Genesis 2:17. He said, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat its fruit, you will surely die. And we know the story. Adam and Eve didn't die physically, did they? No. They went on. But it said, if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Adam and Eve were permitted to eat fruit from all the trees. You know, think about it. You're going through your shopping center, you're going through a produce area, and you see some pretty red apples or whatever, and juicy apples, but God already said, don't eat that one. You can have everything else in there. But you keep looking at that one. But God said no. And that's basically what they did. They put that in the shopping cart and ate it. And you know, they were told not to do that. God's word tells us a lot of places in there, you know, he would say, don't do that. I'm trying to help you. Don't follow that way. Follow the word. Follow what I'm trying to tell you. But they did. They ate it. And they saw what happened. The curse of spiritual death was to come upon them as they disobeyed God. Spiritual death. Christians are spiritually dead. Think about it. Christians that call themselves Christians are spiritually dead. They have separated themselves from God. Because how you know you're separated? Because you're still doing the same old thing you used to do before you got saved. You see what I'm saying? What happens? You're born again. You become a new creation. You don't do those things anymore. Right? It's quiet, but I can tell you that's the way it is. Christians are spiritually dead. And you've got to come alive in Christ. You know? I mean, there's a difference between physical death, because you could pass by down the road and you see a bunch of tombstones sticking up. That's physical death. Spiritual death is people walking around that are spiritually dead inside. The only time they know anything about Jesus is when they come to church. No, you live the life of Christ, in Christ, wherever you go. Because of the word of God should be indwelled into you. So when something happens against you, you can always throw the word out there. Whoa. I mean, there's a lot of things that I see and hear, and you say, what's going on? You know, the devil wants to put a lot of doubt in your mind. He wants to put a lot of things in you to make you get off course. It's like going down a road, and all of a sudden it says detour. That's basically what the devil does. You're going right. You're going good, right? What God wants you to be, and everything is good. Your family's talking to one another. Everybody's patting everybody on the back. Everybody's going and having a good time together. And all of a sudden, the devil throws a detour in there. Whoo! Then you got to go this way, and you got to go through all the bumpy roads. You got to go through just like we experienced a few months ago, right over here on the road over there, when they started taking all the top off. How many people complain? Look at all this dust. Look at all these bumps. Look at all this stuff. All this stuff is happening, but they don't mind going it down now. I don't know about you, but it's like interstate extension when you go down that road now. Because I've had people that live on the road tell me they're supposed to be going 45, but it's a racetrack out here because of how smooth it is. But several months ago, we were talking against it, saying, oh, man, oh, we got to go down that road. No, we're going to go down this road. And it's all tore up. It's bumpy, just as bumpy. And you see what I'm saying? That the devil throws those detours in our life. And why? Because we allow him to come in. We're just spiritually dead. When you're spiritually dead, you listen to anything. You can get over here and somebody says something, it takes you off course, you start going this way. And then somebody talks about, because you're not alive in Christ. Being alive in Christ, sure that you might get knocked down. But I can tell you what, if you're spiritually alive in Christ, you're going to rise up. No matter what, you hear things all the time. You're just a perfect example, she may not like this. The other day, it had a softball game on TV. And I was pulling for one team, and she was pulling for the other. She wasn't very happy because my team won. But you understand what I'm saying. I could tell. I said, I better be quiet because she's not liking the big team to lose when my little team won. I always pull for the little guys because I was a little guy still. But you see what I'm saying, that the devil can put things in your head, and thank God that I had enough sense to shut up. I figured y'all would get that. Hallelujah. But God gave me sense to shut up. You know, you listen to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's going to tell you, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't say that. But you know, sometimes the excitement, you just say it anyway, and you say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But we're talking about being spiritually dead or spiritually alive. There's a difference, a whole lot of difference. And you know, and Adam and Eve were permitted to eat that fruit of that tree. And you know, they ate it and they took on that curse. And they what? They became spiritually dead. They didn't have the contact with God like they should have. Because I can tell you, in Genesis 3:22, it tells us that man disobeyed God. And man is still disobeying God today. And you know, they're spiritually dead. And you know, and they were driven from the garden. And you know, I can tell you, when they disobeyed God, I guess you could say that death has a mystery. I'm talking about physical death, has a mystery. And you know, and it's not part of the creation or the part of God's creation. Physical death was never in God's plan for us to ever die. Think about it. When physical death came in is when we lost our spiritual death. And then what happened? We do what we wanted then, right? We ate what we wanted. We did things. And you know, a good friend of mine years ago, he was elderly, and he was, you know, he was sick, and he knew he was dying. And you know, he told me one time, he was at church, they rolled him in, and he was at church. And he told me, he said, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I think I would have ate right. And I can tell you, he was a policeman, and he crammed them donuts. And I can jelly feel the whole thing. But, you know, it finally caught up with him. And, you know, why did I change? Because I said, well, I'm going to start exercising. And I go to the fitness. I go Monday, Wednesday, and try to go there Friday. But I go, and I try to stay fit. And I try to eat, try, with a capital T-R-Y, right. It's hard to do that around here. But you understand what I'm saying, that at physical death, it's there because of what Adam and Eve did. They caused this pain upon the earth, this death upon the earth. And you know, the Bible tells us that physical death is an enemy of God. Physical death. When you die, it's an enemy. Because God never planned for us to ever die. Because you think about it, it's a mystery to a lot of people. Well, why did they die? Why did this happen? Because it's not part of God's creation. It's because we died spiritually. You ever heard, you know, of different things? It rots on the inside, and then it comes to the outside. when you're spiritually dead, you're rotting on the inside. And eventually it's going to come out to the surface. You see what I'm saying? That if you're spiritually dead. And 1 Corinthians 15:26 tells us that physical death is the last enemy that's put under God's feet. Spiritual, physical. And you know, we have to understand that God wants us to be with, you know, live forever. And that was his plan, for us to live forever. But before you can understand death, however, you must understand that man is not a physical being. I can see you physically, but you're not a physical being. You are a spirit who possesses a soul and lives in a body. And that's in 1 Thessalonians that you can see that, 1 Thessalonians 5. It tells us that we are a spiritual being. That's how we communicate with God. If you're not spiritually, you're spiritually dead, you contact the devil. You see what I'm saying? Because you're a spiritual being, and God is a spiritual God. Am I losing you? Are you still here? Okay, so you understand that we're spiritual beings, but live in this body. And I've used this saying over and over, that you know, you live inside that suitcase, because you got to have that suitcase to get where you want to go. You know, some people may have a roll-around suitcase, some might have a regular suitcase, but I can tell you, you are a spirit being inside that suitcase, because that outside of that suitcase is not going to go to heaven with you. You're going to get a new suitcase. You're going to get a whole brand new thing. So you see what I'm saying? There's a difference between spiritual death and physical death. And Jesus told Nicodemus, I want you to turn to John 3:7. John 3:7. Hallelujah. And it says right there, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. Well, I went up front in church. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I said, okay, that's fine. But are you born again? There's a difference. If you're saved, God saved your what? Flesh. You're saved by the flesh. Born again means that your spirit is born again. And that's the only one that's going to get us to heaven, right? That's what God's word says. And in verse 4, Nicodemus was thinking naturally when he asked, how, but probably we'd have said the same, how can be born again when we're old? Think about it. How can we be born again? Can we enter the time of our mother's womb and be born again? Well, you see how people's thinking. He thought that's the way it had to be. But we got to remember to think spiritually. He was thinking physically, right? I want you to turn to John 3:6. Jesus is going to kind of explain it to him. John 3:6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. To be born again, you're born of the spirit, right? To be saved, you saved your flesh. But the new birth is the rebirth, hallelujah, the rebirth of the human spirit. You are a spirit. The real man is the spirit. The real person is you, is the spirit. And we, you know, and I thank God that we have different looks. You know, everybody looks different. Everybody, in, you know, there's no twins in here, no. So you see what I'm saying? Identical twins. So you understand that everybody looks different on the outside. You go to a store and you go back in the luggage department and all the suitcases and all the luggage is all different. But on the inside, what? We're the same. We're spirits, right? The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. And you know, the Spirit operates through the soul, the intellect, and sensibilities. So if we're a spirit, and also, it's a will. Our will is in that soulic realm. And the soul operates through the body, right? The real you, is, or should I say, your spirit. And your soul lives in a physical box. So you have to understand, when you, I guess you'd say, when you, your soul operates in your physical body, the real you, your spirit, you, when and your soul lives in your physical body, as you walk around, it's all right there together. When you die physically, your spirit and soul leave your body. It leaves your body and goes to your eternal home, wherever that is. The choice is ours to make where we're going to spend eternity. Somebody said, well, there's no hell. Yes, it is. There is a hell. There is a heaven. People will be going to hell. Some of your closest friends will be going to hell. If you're not born again, you're going to hell. Period. What's it saying in the Word? I'm not, you know, and I'm not here to debate the Word. I'm just saying this is what the Word says. And, you know, we depend on our GPS. I heard that this week. He said, well, that's okay. I'll just give me the address and I'll find it. I said, well, it's kind of in a rough, you know, it's new. And you, if you got a GPS that's updated, you probably know exactly where to go. Well, let me see if I can find it. And it wasn't in there. So what's that mean? That means that he's got the GPS. It just ain't going to get him to his place where he needed to go. But we need to understand that when we are spiritually alive in Christ, that we will go, we know without a shadow of a doubt we're going to heaven. Right? Because Jesus said he didn't want anybody to perish. God said he wants everybody. But they got some people out there that are spiritually dead, and they're going to hell. You know, you hate to say that, but it's true. You probably know some. And that, you know, there are people that are not living for God. And you know, we have a God that wants us to get to heaven. He wants a God, God wants to bring us all to heaven. But there's some people that just refuse to recognize God and to be faithful to him. And, you know, you think about what is faithfulness. What is faithful to God? Or, you know, you can check yourself. Check off a little list that you got. Am I faithful to God? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Or am I enjoying myself? And I'll go see God whenever I get through playing around, doing what I want to do. And, you know, there's a lot of spiritual dead Christians that do that. But are we faithful? Are we available for God? If God says to do something, a perfect example, faithfulness. It takes work. I mean, it takes, you know, people, faithfulness to sing on this platform. And, you know, there's been a lot of people come through there, but where's their faithfulness? If it ain't faithful, and you know what we do, this is called a praise team. Praise and worship team. What is that? That means they lead us into praise and worship to God. You think about it. That's what they do. Then they need to, they focus in on giving God the praise. And when they sow that seed of praising God, what it does, it brings you into that atmosphere of praise and worship. Without them, we could just play a CD. You understand what I'm saying? That's what they do. They lift us up right here by the actions, by the, you know, and doing what they do is because they're drawing us into the kingdom, into the praise and worship of God. And that's why we're here. We're not just here to say, well, let's see what they're going to sing today. No. We come into this place praising God, and then we get into the worship part of the praise and worship, and we're giving God all the praise, glory, and honor. And you don't care who's around you, you're just going to give God the praise. Because why? You love God. Your spirit ain't dead. You hadn't spiritually died. You see what I'm saying? So, but you have to, you know, let your spirit raise up above your flesh, because your flesh is saying, no, don't. You ain't going to raise your hand in that church. You're not going to sing. You're not going to shout. You're not going to praise the Lord. No, you can't do that. Don't do that. What are people going to say about that? Who cares? I come in here to praise God. You should be too. If not, fine, they got some old churches over there. Just kind of sit there and do that. Just do that. Just sit over there. You ain't got to do anything. Just sit over there. Hurry up. hurry up, I got to get out of here. Yeah, they, you know, I don't know, probably some of you have been in a church where it lasted 2 hours. If the move of God would be in this place, and you have to usher it in, you have to usher the Spirit of God into this place. So if you say, well, God didn't move. Well, where were you? You have to bring the Spirit of God into this place. You have to praise Him. Are you spiritually dead? Hope not. I'm just saying, you've got to leave the worries of the world behind. Leave everything else behind. Don't bring it in when the presence of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is being ushered in by the praise and worship team and you and me. Can't leave me out of it. I'm just saying that any kind of, and you know, when you're worshiping God, you give Him all the praise, glory, and honor, because He loves you. He wants to see the very best for you. And as I said, you woke up on this side of the dirt, not that side of the dirt. Give Him praise for everything that He does for us. You know, we heard some praise reports today, and that's great. But bring it into the atmosphere of praise. It's easy to talk about it, but then put it into action of what God is doing. But you think about it. You're a real spirit. Your soul lives in that physical body, right? And when you die physically, and right, think about this. When you die physically, your spirit and your soul leave your body, and they go to your eternal home. As I said, heaven or hell. Luke 16:20, tells us that there was a certain rich man and a certain beggar named Lazarus. I want you to turn to Luke 16:22 and verse 24. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. A lot of people have been taught that about Abraham's bosom, right? Okay. Sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, what's the difference? What's going on? And it said, and he went to, in verse 23, and he went to the place of the dead. The rich man. And it says, there in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus, the beggar, at his side. Wow. Verse 24. And he says, the rich man shouted, Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames. There is a hell. Rich man made it to hell. But think about this. Both the beggar and the rich man were still conscious. The man is not dead like an animal. You're still alive, spirit and your soul, right? This rich man saw that the beggar Lazarus in heaven with Abraham. And the rich man was where? Burning in hell. And he saw the beggar, and he wanted Abraham to just to touch his tongue. So there's torment in hell. You see what I'm saying? Why do we talk so much about getting born again? Because you don't want to spend eternity in hell. And we have to understand that both the beggar and the rich man were still conscious. They could still see and talk and do those kind of things. And, you know, they also believe about Abraham's bosom. A lot of people were taught that. I've even heard some praise because they're in Abraham's bosom. That God is, you know, to pray for them. You know, they might have been dead, a while. But that's no longer. Remember the scriptures that talks about Jesus when he was crucified? What did he do those days that he was, after he come off the cross, and what'd he do? He went to hell, didn't he? And I tell you what, he got the keys. the keys that Jesus went and got. He got those keys. So you understand what I'm saying? When you die, you're not going to go hang out at a little place real quick to wait for Jesus. No. When you die, you go to heaven because Jesus went down and unlocked the gates. He took them out of there. He took Abraham. He took all those prophets. He took them all into heaven. So where do you think our witnesses are? Don't the scriptures talk about witnesses? Heavenly witnesses? They're cheering us on? We're talking about Abraham. Can you imagine having Abraham on your side? Let's think about old Paul. Let's think about Peter. Let's think about all Isaiah. You think about all those people. They're your witnesses. They're cheering for you. They want you to get to heaven. Man, that's enough right there. I don't know about you. A lot of you have been to a sporting event. You go sit in the stands and you cheer for your team. You're cheering that player on. You're cheering, maybe it might be a nephew out there playing or a niece playing softball or whatever it is. You're cheering them on. And it makes them feel good out there. That you're cheering these people on. It could be in a school activity or whatever, a play or what. You're cheering them. You got to come on, you can do this. You got knocked down, but you're going to make it. You're going to get through this. You might be tripped up here, but that's okay. Come on, get up. Get up. Got to finish the race. I've seen too many Christians start a race and quit before they get to the end. Oh, that hurts. That's like a knife. Your witness is up there saying, you can do it. You can make it. You just got to keep going. We're cheering you on. And that's why we have to understand that we don't have that bosom we go to, as many people are taught that. Because when you die, you go straight to heaven, right? You go straight there because it says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Because the Lord's not in the bosom. The Lord is in heaven. Hallelujah. But you know, there are several kinds of death that are spoken of in the Bible. But there's three kinds we need to familiarize ourselves with. First one is spiritual death. Whew. You talk about separation from God. That's not a very good place to be. Spiritual death. Number two, physical death. Number three, eternal death. Or that second death, which we're being cast into that lake of fire that burns brimstone. And you know, and all of that. That's your final place for some. But spiritual death, now think about this. Spiritual death is that which lays hold of our spirits rather than our bodies. And like I said, spiritual death is not where you want to be. You don't want to be in physical death either. But you got to get your spiritual right, because that's who you really are before you die. And as I said before, physical death was not a plan of God. That was broke when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. They broke that continuous life. Can you imagine? Probably wouldn't have, I hate to say, but honestly, wouldn't have to redo hair because our hair would be the same, wouldn't be different colors, and everybody would look the same as they were. But spiritual death is not a place to be. Because why do you think it's so much chaos? Why do you think it's so much stuff? Who you think they listening to when you're spiritually dead? Ain't but one, the father of lies, Satan himself. Because when you're spiritually dead, you can't contact God. You are separated from God. Part of my coming up, I was spiritually dying. But thank God there was that witness of people that were cheering me on to say, you can make this. And I made it. And the same thing with, like, this church is cheering you on. You can make it. We pray, the chaos out of your life. I don't know about you. Anybody got chaos in their life? It's time to get into the room right by with just you and God, or God and you, or however you do. Just get in the presence of God. And, I hope this ain't the only time you hear praise music. You need to turn some praise music on at your house. And if you don't have any, let me know. You say, well, I got radio stations. I'm talking about praise music, not music for sale. You understand what I'm saying? praise music, words that lift God up, lift up the name of Jesus. That's praise music. Praise the Lord. But there's, you know, like I said, there's types of death that take place. But spiritual death is that which lays hold of our spirits rather than our bodies. Whew. The second death is the ultimate final death, or home of the spiritually dead. Hallelujah. Did y'all get anything out of this morning? Oh, we thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.